Anytime that you will, you just look around. I tell you what, I've been tempted to be more discouraged and more fearful in this past week, realizing what's going on and not going on in Washington than I ever have. It's a mess. But recognize that if God hadn't made promises, we wouldn't have a lot to fear.
Amen.
But because He's made some promises, we can have hope.
Amen.
Be a people of hope. And so, that's where we are. To recognize the times, but not be fearful. Recognize that God has promised, for one thing, that He rules over the nation. For another, that He raises up leaders, and He causes leaders to fall from their place. Also, He's gone so far as to say that you can search for the wicked, and they're gone, and their place has been removed, and you can't even find them anymore. Well, I'm kind of expecting some of that to happen this year.
Amen. Amen.
And it's not that I have revenge in my heart or that I want to see evil done to someone or someone harmed. It's just that God, that's what He said in His Word, and He knows how to take care of it. I don't have to fret. I don't have to fume. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to speak against folks. I just need to do what God's told me to do.
Amen.
And God's grace, what a wonderful thing that is. God's riches at Christ's expense. To know of the blessings that come my way, not because I've deserved it, not because I've earned it, but because that's God's love. And yet there are things I can do that put me in a position to receive God's blessings, to receive the things that He has in store for me, to be able to trust Him. As I hear what He says and do what He says, then that puts me in a position to receive more. And to receive more from the Father. You know, God's made promises for those who seek Him. And I know a little bit about, if you read the bulletin, there are several spelling errors or grammatical errors in there. I just want to see if you were alert. I wasn't. And my spell check failed me. So, God didn't. God dealt with our sin, not dwelt with our sin. You see, that's one of them. That's kind of a bad mistake right there. But maybe you get the idea of what I was trying to say. The idea is simply living a life of trust and faith, being obedient to do what the Lord says. And in that life, we can expect Him to bless us, to provide good things for us, to protect us, to direct and guide us, even to correct us. And that's a real comforting thought, isn't it? To know that God corrects us if we do something that's wrong. We have that heart to seek after God and we misunderstand, God's going to correct us. He knows how to correct His children in a loving way. And even His discipline is grievous. It's not joyful. It's grievous. But it's designed to produce the peaceful fruit of righteousness. God wants us to be at peace, to have peace in our heart, regardless of what the circumstances are, regardless of what we're facing. And so all of us have challenges that we face, whatever they are. They're varied and many based on each individual. We have different challenges, and yet God is able to see us through it and to be with us and to provide for us, even to perform miraculous things in our behalf, so that others can know that He's God. If you looked at the front of the bulletin there, it is an awesome thing. And it's a sobering thought to think that our lives are windows through which other people may view God. What do they see when they look at our window? Is it dirty? Is it clear? Can they see Him clearly? Do they get kind of a distorted picture of what He's like? And you know, one of the greatest privileges we have is to present Him to other people. We present Him by the way we live, the attitudes that we have, the values that we hold, the things that we say, the places that we go, and the way we respond to the people around us. In this day and time, there's a lot more anger than I've ever seen in my entire lifetime. And a lot more people living in fear, and a lot more people worried than I've ever seen before. This is a time where it seems like that peace is almost just completely evaporated. But there are a group of people who know God, and as a result of that, minds that are stayed on Him, He keeps their hearts in perfect peace. And that's who we are. Amen. Just to be that peaceful person who loves God, who loves the people around us, and who's able to express God's love to them in ways that they can understand or maybe even are amazed at. You know, from time to time, we see little stories on the internet or on Facebook or whatever you get, if you get on social media, of good things that are taking place. Police officers going out of his way to help someone, made a sacrifice or whatever. The other day, there was a police officer, I think, who adopted the baby of a homeless woman. She was not able to take care of the baby, and so the police officer said he just thought it was the right thing to do, to give that little child a home. And things like that are taking place all over the earth, even all over America. Regardless of what the news media may be saying and emphasizing, the goodness of God fills the earth.
Amen.
It really does. The goodness of God fills the earth. And so we're part of that goodness. We're part of expressing His love. We're part of doing the good thing. The Bible just simply says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. So just make it a part of your daily routine to do a random act of kindness, or random acts of kindness. It ought to be just our nature to do that anyway, just to be kind wherever you go, however you find people. And the more you find people hurting and upset, the more you need to work on trying to encourage and helping them to be kind. I really appreciate the guy that owns the Chick-fil-A here. Came to Ironman one day, and he spoke to us and talked to us about how they recruit people and how they train their workers. And one of the things that they train them is that you don't know what that person's story is. You're trying to serve them. They may be grouchy. They may be angry. They may be giving you a hard time. You don't know what their story is. So you just be nice and you be kind to them, because it might be worse than you think. They might have just lost a loved one. They might have just been fired from their job. They might have just had a diagnosis of cancer. You don't know what their story is, and you don't know why they're acting that way, but you don't have to respond in kind. You can be kind to them. You don't have to respond like they're responding. You can be kind to them. Well, God has given us His grace. And it's not something that we earn or deserve. It's something that comes out of His heart because of who He is. But with that grace, there's responsibility. Paul in Galatians, in writing and explaining grace and how that we're not under the law anymore, but we're under the grace, and how that we need to operate based on love, said, don't let grace become a reason or an excuse for giving in and to license or to the desires of the flesh, to live after the flesh. And over again in the New Testament, we're told not to live based on the flesh, but to live based on the Spirit. The Spirit and the flesh fight against each other. There's a battle going on. There's a battle going on in my heart, my mind. There's a battle going on in your mind. There's things that come along. Sometimes we're aware of it, and sometimes we're not aware of it. Jesus Himself faced temptations like you and I face temptations. And those temptations were as strong or even stronger than we face. The Bible says that God limits our temptations so it's not too strong for us. And when we start thinking that, oh, I couldn't help it, I had to do that, we're calling God a liar. That's pretty strong words right there, isn't it? But that's the truth, because God watches over His children. And He keeps us from being tempted beyond our ability to withstand. Plus, He always makes a way of escape. And I've watched Him do that for me this week a couple of times. There were a couple of times when I was involved in something. I made up my mind to do something, and all of a sudden, I wasn't able to do it and realized that God had provided a way of escape. He's good at that. He practiced with that. He knows how to do it. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul's talking here, he's talked about the resurrection and the mystery of the resurrection, and he just simply makes this statement in verse 13. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. Those two verses, 13 and 14. If we were going to look for some instruction for the year 2019, those two verses would be pretty good verses. Be on the alert. Be on the alert. But what does it mean to be on the alert? It means to be watchful. Well, one of the things, James, I think, indicated that we ought to be on the alert and watch out because we've got an enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion. He makes a lot of noise. He's seeking someone to devour. The real truth is that he doesn't have any authority over us unless we allow him to. Paul in Romans chapter 6 indicates that we become slaves of the person to whom we yield ourselves to obey. So Satan will come along and tempt us. He'll put a thought in our mind. And if we go along with him, then he's able to bring some destruction in our life. He's able to harm us in some way because we've yielded ourselves to him. We've become his slave. That's what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. They yielded to Satan and gave up the authority that God had given them on this earth. Well, Jesus came, took it back, giving it to us so that we can live the righteous life. And are y'all looking for 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14? Okay, you're welcome. Just underline that, memorize it, and report back next week. And we'll be okay. So that God, with his grace to us, his graciousness to us, then expects something from us. You read throughout the New Testament and you find that just about everywhere we turn, even what Jesus taught, especially what Paul taught, is that the grace that God gives us is to be used in such a way that we are responsible to let people know by our lives who God is and what he's like. We're that window where people view God, just to know him, to get to know him, and to be drawn to him. It's God's goodness that fills the earth, and it's God's goodness that draws people to him. Most people know that they're sinners. We don't have to spend much time telling them they're a sinner. Most folks have got some guilty conscience in their life, and they are trying to live with that. But to recognize that God loves us and cares for us, that's an important message. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And that God has dealt with our sin, and he's removed it from us as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it against us no more. Can you imagine going before God and saying, God, I know I was wrong when I told that lie. I shouldn't have lied to my boss. I shouldn't have said that to my neighbor. I shouldn't have said that. I was wrong. And God saying, why? He's already taken care of it with Jesus Christ on the cross. And so he's not remembering it against us. And so that means that we need to come to him. But to be alert is to be aware that there are temptations that are bombarding us day after day after day. And so God helps us to be alert. That's the reason he's given us his spirit. God, would you help me to be aware of what's going on? And I won't just act based on what I see, but that I'll allow your spirit in me to reveal truth, that I'll respond in truth, that I'll respond the way that you want me to. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus lived that kind of life as a man. Can you imagine only doing what the Father said? Now, I've spent a lot of my lifetime just doing what I wanted to do. That's called rebellion when you get down to it. It's not pretty, it's not fun, and it doesn't lead to productive lifestyle or the blessings of the Lord. But God's desire and delight is to bless his people. And that's the reason he gives us responsibility. He holds us responsible. You know, every once in a while I have an opportunity to discuss with one of my good friends, one of my pastor buddies, that we pray together a lot. We love each other. That's the reason we can discuss things about predestination. You've been predestined. And he'll go so far as to say that man doesn't have any part in his salvation, that God is sovereign and God's the one who chooses. And there's truth there. God is sovereign. God does choose. But I also believe that God has given man the responsibility to respond to him, to choose what to do. Otherwise, the judgment that the Bible talks about, the judgment day, is just a farce. If we're not responsible, God says, I've just created you to be this way, and so this is it, and you have no choice, and there's no need for a judgment. He's already made the judgment. But there is a judgment. It will be judged based on our works. And so the good works will produce reward, the bad works, they'll just suffer loss. So God says, be alert, be aware. There are temptations that come your way. You know, I think about David. David was one of my favorite Old Testament guys. I preached a whole series of sermons one time on David. Took his life from the beginning to the end. And David was a man after God's own heart, but he was a man who was tempted. He was a man who was tempted. And the Bible says there was a time when it was time for kings to go to war. Spring was coming, things were thawing out, the weather was good, and it's time to decide who owned what territory and to defeat the enemy, to protect your property. And so David's army and Joab went to war, but David stayed home. He stayed in the castle. You know, I can identify with that. Being 71 years old and almost 72, I can be tempted to look for personal ease. Oh, let me stay in bed just a little bit longer. Let me have another taste of this. I like the way that tastes. This makes me feel good. I'm going to do this again. Or I don't want to do that anymore. And so I don't know what was going on in David's mind, but he didn't fulfill his responsibility. He made a choice. And in making that choice, he fell into sin. And falling into sin, then he tried to cover it up and created an even greater sin. And God sent a prophet to point his finger at David and said, you're the man, David. Well, David repented. We give credit for that. He repented. Now, things in David's life were never the same after that. There were still consequences. He lost a baby boy that died. One of his sons raped one of his daughters. One of his sons killed that son, went on the run. David finally brought him back, but didn't say much to him, and so he raised up a rebellion against David. It was bad. It was bad family vibes. And I think it started because David stayed home one day when he should have gone, and looking for personal ease, looking for personal comfort, looking for personal pleasure. He wasn't alert. He fell into sin, and it affected his whole family. Well, you and I, with our gray hair, know that that's true, don't we? We know that there are places we ought not to visit, and things we ought not to go, and tempers we ought not to yield to, and temptations we ought not to give in to. So we know about being alert. We know that we need to be alert. And then he says, stand firm in the faith. You know, there are things that happen that we just flat don't understand. I have prayed, I don't know how many prayers that didn't get answered the way I wanted them to be answered. And I can't tell you why. I don't know. I don't understand that. What I do have to know is that God is good and that God does good. God doesn't do evil to his people. Amen. And he doesn't trick us or he doesn't tease us. He doesn't play with us. What he says is true, whether I can understand it or not, whether I can practice it or not. And so he wants me to learn to walk in his ways, and he wants to teach me to do that. I get in trouble when I get selfish. And so he says, stand firm in the faith. Be sure that you're trusting and believing that God is good, that he's good to you and good for you, and wants to use you for good in the lives of others. I know we told you our story several times that there was a time in my life, actually more than once, when I just had to come to the place of saying, well, I don't know why this happened. I don't know how this happened like this. I don't know why my prayers didn't get answered, but I know this, God is good. And I don't know what happened in this situation. This situation's not good, but I know that saved by faith, God is good. And I'm just going to keep saying that. And so be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Boy, it's a good thing to be a man. I'm around boys all the time, and I know they've got some growing to do. And I'm not sure I know how to act like a man. I think a man's supposed to provide some leadership. I think a man's supposed to provide some protection. I think a man's supposed to take the initiative. I still hold doors open for women. I have an opportunity to do that. I think that's what a man's supposed to do. Supposed to help out. But there are women who resent that. And there are women who are strong. I know they are physically strong and emotionally strong. And I'm grateful for that. But men just need to take some leadership, and as Christians, men and women, spiritual sons and daughters of God, we need to take leadership and step out, regardless of what other people are doing, and provide that leadership, to be that example, to be the one who says, this is good, and this is what I'm doing, and this is where I'm staying. And I'm not yielding to the fact. Now, if you call me homophobic, you can do that. But it's not that I don't love homosexuals, it's that I know that that sin is wrong. It's not that I don't love adulterers, I know that that sin is wrong. It's not that I don't love thieves, I know that that sin is wrong. It's not that I don't love liars, I know that that sin is wrong. And I can love people without loving their sin, without giving in to the sin. And to be a man means to stand firm in the faith, like Paul was saying here. To be, and the next thing he says simply is to be strong. Well, to be strong. You know, the temptation would think, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. And when we are saying that, guess who we're depending on? Me, myself. You know, there's another place in the Bible where it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Someone also has said, and I'm giving you a bunch of cliches, stuff that you've heard a long time over and over again. Someone else has said, if you've got big problems, your God's small. The bigger your God, the smaller your problems. And the more we recognize that God Himself has said, is anything too hard for me? It's not. God is able to do anything He decides to do. With the word of His mouth, He spoke the worlds into existence, with the planets and their orbits and the stars and their places, and He calls them by name. He's great and mighty. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. And we need to remember that in this day and time, so that we're not giving in to fear. We're not giving in to worry. We're not giving in to anger. We're not giving in to selfishness. To be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God, You know I'm not able. You know I'm not strong enough. You know I can't handle this. I have to trust You. And there have been times in my life and yours, I've heard You give testimonies where God just came and provided a strength that you didn't have, didn't know was possible. But in that relationship with God, He made you strong in that situation, saw you through. And as you look back on it, you're even able to recount some good things that came out of a horrible situation. God works all things together for good for those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. God, I love You. We sang that today. I love You, Lord. That's my anthem song. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Holy Spirit. And to love Him with our whole heart, God works in us. He works through us, and He works for us, and He's protection to us. So that He becomes our strength. He's our strength. We depend on Him. It's interesting, isn't it? Scripture says this, that God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and He takes the weak to defeat the strong. We don't have to be strong. We don't have to be smarter than our opponent. All we have to do is know God, be obedient to do what He says. Let Him and Him alone be our strength, so we're trusting in Him. Well, that's not all He said. That's a lot, isn't it? And that's good. Be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. What else did He say? Verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. Well, God loved us and gave Himself for us. And Jesus, in trying to teach His disciples, He washed their feet. And then He said, you know what I've done to you? If I, your Lord and Master, have done this to you, you need to do this to each other. Actually, what He was saying, that love results in service to people. Sometimes even sacrificial service. And certainly a humility of service. I'm going to do this because this makes me better than you. This makes me greater than you. I'm going to do this because you've got a bad attitude, but I've got a good attitude. I want you to see how much better I am than you. That's not the attitude that wins the day. There's a humility. I've forgotten the verse. I can't remember it. Maybe you remember it. I think it's in Micah somewhere where it says, what does the Lord require of you? Oh man, what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, something else, and to...
Micah 6:8.
Love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Paul says this thing about humility in Corinthians, and he says it this way. He says, what do you have that hasn't been given to you? Why are you boasting and bragging about how important you are, how big you are? Why, everything that you have has been given to you, and that's true, isn't it? We recognize that even our abilities, what talents we have, God has provided that for us. And so we need to be expressing that humility to Him as we love the folks around us and serve them. His love shed abroad in our heart enables us, encourages us, even in some sense demands us to make sacrifices for the benefit of others, so that we become that window through whom people see God. They see our lives, they see the good works that we do, but they give glory to the Father who's in heaven. And that's our job. That's what we are required to do. That's our responsibility. And He helps us with that. He encourages us with that. He provides the strength for that. He gives us the faith to do that. It's His work in us that reveals who He is and what He's like. Well, I'm expecting good things for the year 2019. I almost skipped over to 20. I don't know what happened to 19 in my mind. It was fast year. 18 was fast, but 19 was about to be even faster. So let's just do 19 and see what God does. God has good things in store. I believe it. I believe He has good things in store for us individually. I believe He has good things in store for us as a church. There are words that He's promised, things that He's said about our church and our ministry and our congregation that have not been fulfilled yet. And I'm expecting that they are going to come to pass, and excited about what we face in this coming year. Father, we are grateful for your goodness, for your kindness, for your mercy, for your grace. We're grateful for your presence, for your direction, for your guidance. We're grateful that you've given us responsibility, that you hold us accountable, and yet we are grateful that you've given us your Spirit who empowers and enables us to do all that you require of us. Father, it's you in us. Jesus in us is the hope of glory. And so we rejoice and give thanks and look forward eagerly through this year and the things that you'll do, things that you are doing, the things that you promise. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.